The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What's up, y'all? Got some exciting news to share. We've been nominated for a Webby Award. Just to give you some context, over 14,000 projects were submitted across the various categories, and being selected puts us in the top 12% of all podcasts in the world. We were selected as a finalist for the category of best podcast in diversity and inclusion. And so I need your help. We have about a week left for voting. So I need you to click the link in the description of this show and vote. It'll take just a moment, share with the family, share with friends, and I look forward to celebrating with you. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. And today's closing day features Nasser El Arabi from episode 119. And what a story, man. So, well, for one, he has a seven-figure portfolio. Well, he started out making $10 an hour, right? And so this episode features the beginnings of his story about how he was able to go from making $10 an hour all the way up to having a seven-figure portfolio. And so this is Nasser El Arabi, episode 119, the Black Real Estate Dialogue closing day feature. Let's get into it.
You know, you get down to Charlotte, you know, from the tri-state area, making $10 an hour. As far as real estate, like, what were you thinking about? Like, were you, is this still something that you wanted to do? And you know, just making that little money, like, how did you take the next step in real estate?
See, I was at the time, bro, it's 08. I'm like 24, 25, bro. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I was too stupid to quit. No, man, like literally just too stupid to quit. I knew, I was like, man, real estate worked. I just did it wrong. It didn't work for me. You know what? We can't fix and flip. You got to buy rental properties. So 2008, I leveraged my $10 an hour job in the call center and bought a house and rented that joint out. Mm-hmm. This is when Charlotte was cheap, because when I moved down there, the goal was to take over the real estate market in Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was the goal. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had to work in corporate America 4 years before I got fired. And we'll get to that, you know what I mean? So, but that was the goal. So I bought a rental in 08. I bought a rental in 09. In 08, towards like the third or fourth quarter of 08, I got a better job working at the call center in Wachovia, the headquarters. Wells Fargo bought them. Because if you don't know anything about Charlotte, North Carolina, at that time, we were the number two biggest banking city in the country.
Wow.
Now, I think we're like three or four, because San Francisco took the number two spot because Wells Fargo bought Wachovia, which was headquartered here. So with that being said, you know, after I got my second rental property, I go to buy my third, because in my mind, I'm accumulating all these rental properties, quit my job through cash flow. That's how I had it planned out.
Yeah.
But what happened was, bruh, I went to go get my third house. The loan officer like, oh, your debt to income is too high. Huh? I don't know what that means. My debt to income too high. What you mean by debt to income too high? Like, yo, your debt to income is too high, meaning you don't make enough to have a third house. Mm-hmm. With all your debt you got. All my debt. Huh? I had two houses and like less than like 10K in student loans. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, and I was making 12 something an hour at that time. So I couldn't buy another house. So in my mind, I'm like, dang, my real estate career really over. Yeah. That was quick. Cause I don't know nothing else. I mean, I'm just knowing the traditional way to buy real estate. Man, so I read this book, changed my life. Book by the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And I'm 26 now. I ain't never read in my life, bro. High school, I didn't read. I was the cool guy in high school. I had a 1.8 GPA. I was like most popular, best dressed, class clown. I was that guy. You know what I mean? I'm the guy that you would assume 10 to 15, 20 years later from high school, I would be in front of a liquor store asking you for a quarter. You know what I mean? So I was that guy in high school. But then, you know, I went on to college. Took me like 6 years to finish on my four-year degree. Four different schools, cheated all through college. I didn't really read through college. I didn't even read in college. You know what I'm saying? So, bruh, I started reading at 26 because I realized that I had to do something different because the results I got, this ain't what I want. This can't be my life. I ain't go to college the work of the call center. So,
right.
The book said something that stuck out to me, bro. It said, yo, before you start investing in real estate, you need to learn how to do real estate. Before you start investing in stocks, you need to learn how to do stocks. I said, what? Wait, what? Oh, I never learned how to do real estate. So somebody seen me reading the book and they was like, yo, you know, it's a real here in Charlotte. I said, what? Because he was into it. And I'm like, yo, he gave me the website. I joined the RIA. For those who don't know what the RIA is, Real Estate Investment Association. Okay. They had, bro, like back then, you go to meetup.com, type in real estate investing, your zip code. Every major city probably had like 100 clubs now these days. So found out about my RIA. That's when I found out about wholesaling and creative real estate, basically buying and selling of houses without leveraging your credit and no money. And 09, 010, that's where the journey began. Like, what, man? I'm about to run it up. So, yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So you learned about wholesaling. So how did you approach, and you still are fairly new to the city, you've been there for a couple of years at this point. How did you go about like finding those deals under value and building up your buyers list and all that stuff? Like, how did you approach that starting off?
Oh yeah, just you know, I found a mentor. I found my mentor by working. You know what I mean? I was actually doing the work, calling listings back then. I'm calling houses on Craigslist, and somebody said, "I said, yo, so who am I speaking with?" I said, "Yo, my name is Nasser. I'm interested." What's your name? Nasser. Wait. You be coming to the real estate meeting? Blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, that's me. He said, listen, I'm going to be at this meeting over here tomorrow. I want to meet you. I said, all right, cool. So I'm like, yo, I'm going. And he put me up to a new meeting, but he became my mentor because he seen that I was working and I was coming around. So he like, yo, this guy must be serious if he working. And yo, 2011, I got my first deal. I was driving for dollars. It took me 8 months to get my first deal.
Wow.
What I did, I changed jobs in 2011 to get a 9-to-5 schedule because I was on second shift before. My last job, the call center before that, between 08 and 2010, I was on second shift, son. So yeah. I'm on second shift with Tuesdays and weekends off, working like 11:30 to 10. So, bro, I didn't see sun come up during the week for like 2 years straight, bro. I used to be sick, bro. Like, I'm like, yo, man, the ladies need me outside, bro. And I'm in this call center. What's going on, son? So, but you know, they was trying to hold the brother back, man. Hey, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I used to go to the meetings on Tuesday, and I used to use my vacation time to go to the main real estate investment meetings every third Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. So I use my vacation time, but I was willing to make the sacrifices to make this business work. And I zoomed in on what I wanted. Sometimes we trying to chase two rabbits, we catch none. And I was no longer trying to really, I didn't care or have no concern with growing my career. Mm-hmm. I was okay with my career being stable because I was trying to grow and I was watering the seed that I planted over here, which was the real estate investment. Did my first deal in 2011. They end up getting rid of me, bro. Beautiful company, Fortune 500 company. It was me. I'm terrible. You know what I mean? It definitely wasn't them. It was me. You know? So with that being said, bro, hey, real talk, dog. I came to work in November, right? Mm-hmm. Yo, I was late to my own firing, dog. That's how terrible I was, bro. They was waiting for me in the office so they could come get me to fire me, right? I ain't know, you know what I mean? So I'm in the bathroom, you know, doing what I gotta do, you know, being late. You know, I don't really care, you know what I'm saying? So as soon as I got to my seat, they were like, yo, go get him. You know what I mean? I seen him saying like, yo, go get him. He over there. So they came and got me, walked me in the office. It was November, bro. They like, yo, listen. We eliminating your position and your official last day is January 3rd, but don't come back to work no more. And we going to pay you until January 3rd. And I'm like, cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was that? Like, all right, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how that was. And I talked to a mentor. My mentor was like, look, I don't think you're ready to go full time. Go back and get another job and buy rentals. And do you have enough rentals to leave your job? Just went to another job, right? I don't lie, bro. My resume, I told these good people that, you know what I mean? I knew how to do Excel sheets, right? Because I don't found a resume on Google. So, you know, I did some copy and pasting. You know what I mean? I got to get a job. You know, I got bills. Bruh, they gave me some Excel sheets, bruh. I know they regret hiring me. So anyway, they end up firing me, bruh. And I've been doing this business full time ever since September of 2012, bruh. My highest paying job was $38,000, bruh. I got a 7-figure real estate business, bruh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.